thank you so much. Those three words, "It is finished," are the three words that separate time. Because it was when the work of Christ was finished on the cross, our sin debt was paid. The gulf between God and man was spanned. And now we have access through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to heaven. Let me mention a couple things I didn't mention earlier to continue to pray for. Continue to pray for Brian James. I saw him in the hospital yesterday. He's out of ICU, up in a private room, and he has his trach out so he can talk, and he's vastly improved. So continue to pray for Reg and Debbie, and also some folks will be traveling. I think Tim is in the air right now. Is he traveling right now? Last night? He's at the airport right now. Well, he's going very shortly. Heading to Europe with some high school kids and chaperoning a group. So we want to pray for him as he travels. And then Miss Reese is traveling to North Carolina this afternoon and to be down there for a few days with family over spring break. So we're going to pray for them as well. Isaiah 53 in your Bibles, please. Good Friday. What's so good about it? Good Friday. What's so good about it? We'll consider that thought and have some answers for you. Don't you hate it when somebody asks a question and there's no answer for it? Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament. This morning my devotions, I read through the four Gospels, not all of them, the crucifixion accounts in all four of the Gospels. But all of them really are summed up back here before, hundreds of years before Christ died, in Isaiah chapter 53. The prophet says in verse 1, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." We'll stop our reading there this morning. Let's bow in prayer as we begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we do thank you for all the good things you've done for us. We do pray for these that are traveling. Pray for Tim and the high school students that will be traveling, not only with him, but from other places in Newfoundland and across the country to go to spend some time in Europe. And Lord, we pray that you'd watch over them, give them a great time there, and pray that you'd give them safety as they travel. Pray for Miss Reese as she travels, that you'd watch over her, help her to make the connections that she needs as she flies to North Carolina. Lord, we thank you for the recovery you've given to Brian. Lord, we pray that you continue to bless him and Debbie. We pray that you'd meet all their needs. And now, Lord, as we turn to your word and look at the thought of Good Friday, you turn our thoughts and minds from the busyness of this day and the weekend, and help us, Lord, to see all the good things you did for us on this day. And we'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Good Friday, what's so good about it? Do you ever think about the name Good Friday, where it came from? It's interesting where names come from. I was thinking about a little earlier this year. We had a Sheila's Brush. A Sheila's Brush. Now, I never heard anything about Sheila's Brush till I came to Newfoundland. You don't have them in Ontario. Now, I don't know. Maybe somebody can tell me later on, not now, tell me later on where the name Sheila's Brush came from. I had an Aunt Sheila, but I never saw her with a brush, I guess. I don't know. Maybe you can. But names are, it's interesting where they came from. Here we have Good Friday. Good Friday. The best I can understand, I look back and did a little research on this, is that it's a bit of a corruption that originally it was called God's Friday. And the extra O got put in, and the S dropped over the centuries. It was called God's Friday back in 12 and 1300 AD. And it's come down to us as Good Friday. And while it, maybe the name, we kind of look and say, we associate it certainly with the day Christ was crucified, but why is it good? Or even, why is it God's Friday? We know as we come together, and I don't believe there's anyone across North America today that does not at least know the fact that this is the weekend that we celebrate the crucifixion of Christ. It's sad that more and more people every year are denying, saying they don't really believe that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day. But we understand it's a historical fact. We'll talk a little bit more about that on Sunday morning. But why is it Good Friday? I think the first reason we understand it's Good Friday, because it's the ultimate display of God's love for mankind. It's the ultimate display of God's love for mankind. Verse you know very well, John 3 and verse 16, we're going to read 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not have perished, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's so much in these two verses. We could spend the next 3 weeks very easily, every service, every message, dealing with the content of these two verses. But the verses begin, for God so loved the world. If we consider this, this thought should be so far beyond our comprehension that we just have a terrible time understanding. God, the eternal one, the creator of the universe, the creator of mankind, God who is further separated from us than we are from a snail. Yet God looked down through eternity, God looked down from heaven, and God saw in a moment of time all of mankind. He not only saw all of mankind, but he saw all of our sinfulness. He not only saw all of mankind, but he saw our rebellion and our selfishness. But God chose to love us. You see, love is not a feeling. Feelings are erratic things. Love is a choice. And God can make a choice, and once he makes a choice, it's eternally fixed. For God so loved the world. Now, God could have done a lot of things for the world because he loves us. He does daily. I mean, think about some of the beautiful days we've had this last week. The sunshine. All the good things that he gives us. God loves us and has allowed us to live in one of the greatest parts of the world here in Newfoundland. God has allowed us to live in one of the freest, most prosperous countries in the world, living in Canada. Understand, that's the love of God shown on us. God loves us and gives us the ability to function day by day. But more than all those things, and surpassing all those things, is the fact that God looked down and God saw our hearts and our lives. God saw that we were sinners by birth and sinners by choice. And that God said, because they're sinners, they cannot live in heaven with me because God is holy. God can't change that. God can't alter that. God can't bring that down a few pegs to tolerate us, our sin. But he says, because I love them, I will make the ultimate sacrifice for them. Because I love them, I will send my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. I think of back some time to the counsel of God in eternity past, when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even before the creation of mankind, consider, they knew mankind would be created. They knew that mankind would scatter across the face of the earth They knew mankind would be sinners by birth and sinners by choice. And God the Father says, even though they aren't in reality yet, I have chosen to love this population of humanity. And because I've chosen to love them, I need to do something to give them access to heaven, some way for them to deal with their sin problem. Because their sin problem can't be dealt with by reformation. It can't be dealt with by going through an 8 or a 10 or a 12-step process. It can't be dealt with by a religious ceremony. All those things are external. There has to be an internal change. So in that council of eternity past, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit came together, and the Father said, who will pay the price for sin for mankind? And the Son said, I'll pay the price. He came because he loved us. He lived this earth for 33 and a half years because he loved us. He went to the cross because he loved us. I've heard some messages preached about the cross and all of the legal problems and the legal errors that were made in the trial of Christ. And that really is all irrelevant, isn't it? Because Christ said, I am going to go and die on the cross. He says, I have the power to lay my life down and the power to take it again. No man taketh it from me. The Romans did not murder Christ. The Jews did not murder Christ. Even Satan did not murder Christ that day. He chose because he loves us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But think of this next verse. But God commendeth his love, or he showed it to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. God looked from heaven. He saw us, saw our sin. It was repulsive to him. There was nothing about us that made us attractive to him because of our sin. But God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet in our sinful state, Christ died for us. We see that Friday's a good day because it was the ultimate display of God's love for us. Secondly, we see Friday's a good day because all the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in Christ. We just read Isaiah 53, written hundreds of years before Jesus Christ went to the cross. And we can look over and over and over and pick out time and time and time again specific prophecies concerning Jesus Christ that Isaiah wrote about that were fulfilled exactly in the crucifixion of Christ. We can go back. Let me just quickly go through a number of Old Testament prophecies. The Messiah would be betrayed in Psalm 41. The Messiah's price would be the money. Price money would be used to buy a potter's field in Zechariah. The Messiah would be falsely accused, Psalm 35. The Messiah would be silent before his accusers in Isaiah 53. He would be spat upon and struck in Isaiah 50. He would be hated without cause, Isaiah 35. He would be crucified with criminals, Isaiah 53. Be given vinegar to drink, Psalm 69. His hands and his feet would be pierced, Psalm 22. He'd be mocked and ridiculed, Psalm 22. The soldiers would gamble for the Messiah's garment, Psalm 22:18. His bones would not be broken, Psalm 34. He would be forsaken by God, Psalm 22. He would pray for his enemies, Psalm 109. The soldiers would pierce his side, Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, and he'd be buried with the rich, Isaiah 53 and verse 9. And that's not a complete list at all. You see, the crucifixion of Christ was not an accident of time. It was not that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But he was in exactly the right place that God wanted him to be, the right place that he needed to be to pay for our sin. The Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled on Good Friday. The third reason it's a Good Friday because his sin and suffering produced forgiveness. His sin, because of sin and suffering, produced forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, speaking of Christ, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He hath made him to be sin for us, became a sin offering. Jesus Christ did not become sinful, but he took it upon himself, the sin of all men for all time that day. He became the sin offering, looking back. And as Paul wrote that in 2 Corinthians 5:21, his thought went back to the sin offerings that were being offered in the temple. That the sin of another is laid upon the head of an animal. But here it was not a sheep that was taking the sin, but the Son of God, the Messiah, the Holy One, became a sin offering for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Notice the word might in there. That's an important word. Just because Jesus died on the cross does not mean that everyone is saved. Because salvation is a choice that individuals make. Salvation is a choice that we as individuals decide. I'm either going to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, or I'm going to refuse to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Those are the only two choices. If we say, well, I'm putting it off, well, you're refusing it. His sin and suffering produced forgiveness. The sin that was laid upon him, he did not become sinful. The fourth reason, because God's holiness collided with his mercy. God's holiness collided with his mercy. We cannot begin to understand the holiness of God. There are theological definitions and discussions and all those things, yes. But we cannot begin to fully understand the holiness of God. He is holy because of his nature. And because everything he does is holy, then he is holy. I don't know, that sounds like circular logic, but that's the way it is. But it collided with his mercy. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned," in verse 23, "and come short of the glory of God." God has a holy standard. It's high. It's above all man. And mankind cannot reach it. It does not matter what you do. It does not matter what church you attend. It doesn't matter how much you read your Bible, how many religious exercises you go through, how many good things you do. You can never attain up. For everybody falls short. No one is good enough on their own to get to heaven. There's none righteous. No, not one. If we just left it there, we'd be hopeless. But Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. His mercy. Mercy is something we do not deserve. Mercy is something that there's no way we can pay for. According to his mercy, he saved us. God's holiness collided with his mercy. God in his holiness said, everyone has fallen short. He looked across humanity for all the ages and saw there is no one that lives up to the standard of my holiness, and therefore on their own there is no way they can come to heaven. But that day on the cross, when Jesus said, we just heard it sung, "It is finished." So many things were finished that day. The life of Christ on earth was finished. His teaching, the time he walked with his apostles, he walked 40 days after his resurrection, but that was all done. But also the plan of salvation was finished. It was completed. And we now only need to look back to believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, trust Him as our personal Savior, ask Him to forgive our sins and save us and make us ready for heaven. And God has promised that He will do that if we do that in sincerity, in truth. God's holiness collided with His mercy. Fifth, we see, because it's the turning point in the history of all mankind. I read a commentary just this morning that said that the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is the turning point in humanity. That because of Christianity, the Roman Empire faded away, and we find the rise of the European empires. Because of the crucifixion of Christ, we find that mankind was delivered from some of the bondages of slavery. I know it took time, but he was. Because of the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the rise of Christianity, we see the Gospels taken to the world. It's interesting that our time is divided by the birth time of Christ. B.C. and A.D. They call it C.E. now. So they don't want to say A.D. in the year of our Lord. Anno Dominium. They don't want to admit it's the year of our Lord anymore. So they say C.E. Common Era and B.C. before Common Era. But time was divided. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3, "For I delivered on you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried. And He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." We see that phrase over and over, according to the Scriptures. It's a turning point in history. Sixth, let me say that it's a good day because Jesus voluntarily suffered and died for our sins. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 is a little more familiar to us. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." But verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Christ, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. What's the joy that was set before Him? I believe the joy that was set before Him is the joy of seeing individuals down through eternity trust in the sacrifice that He made for their eternity. I think He looks down with joy each time that He sees someone either silently or hard or pray out loud and say, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know You paid for my sins in the cross, and today I ask You to forgive my sins and save me and make me ready for heaven." The Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I believe that joy comes from Christ. I think there's joy every time He sees one. There's joy every time someone gets saved. There's rejoicing, and Jesus Christ leads that rejoicing for the joy that was set before Him. Had the privilege not long ago of being in the hospital and talking to a man who couldn't communicate with me. He couldn't speak, but he could nod his head and acknowledge things. I ask him, "Do you want to get saved today?" He goes. I took out my New Testament and went through some of the verses on the old Romans road and had the privilege of leading him in prayer. And I said, "I know you can't speak now, but you can say these words in your heart. And as you say these words in your heart, for the Bible says, 'For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation.' You can trust Jesus Christ, and He's your Savior today." And as I led him in that sinner's prayer, and we got done, and I asked him, I said, "Did you pray that prayer today?" And he got a big smile, and he nodded his head for me again. I believe he trusted Jesus as his Savior. Why? Because Jesus voluntarily suffered and died for our sins. It's a good day. The last thought today. Good Friday is a good day because you can be saved today. You can be saved today. You say, Pastor Holman, you don't know what I've done. You know what? I don't need to. God does. You say, Pastor Holman, you don't know about my life. I don't need to. God does. You see, salvation is a very simple thing. I've had the privilege down through the years of talking to individuals as young as 4 years old and those that are 84 years old. Each one of them coming to an understanding of some very simple things. First of all, understanding we're sinners. That shouldn't be hard for us. We know we're sinners. We know that we do things wrong. Secondly, understanding that even as we celebrate on this week or Easter weekend that Jesus came and died on the cross, not because he was a sinner, not because he was a martyr, not because he was the victim of something, but he died to pay for our sins. And he paid for all of our sins, the sins in the past, our present, anything we might sin, any sin, he paid it all. We sing a song in our hymn book, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Understand that we're sinners. Understand that Jesus paid for our sin. And understand that the way to be saved is very simple. Ask Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Simply ask Jesus to save you. It doesn't take a lot. A 4-year-old can understand it. And you know what? A 24-year-old, 34-year-old, 40, we go through the years. It's a very simple thing. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?